This morning's first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings, you dread, will be laid to waste." Hear the word of the Lord. And the second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, the servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who was to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God and empowered by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's no secret that for so many reasons I dearly do love Christmas. So much so that in times to come I can see myself getting in a bit of trouble. That is because I fully intend to put so many Christmas lights on the local rectory that local aircraft will think a new airport has been built. But for me, one of the greatest reasons I love Christmas is that the celebration of Christ Jesus coming to the world brings with it so much hope, joy, peace, and of course love. It's no coincidence that these are the same emotions that we recognize during our celebration and preparation of the coming of Christ Jesus and Advent, Christmas Day itself. But when Christ came to the world on that fateful day, it was a time that would change the world forever through Jesus' message and examples of hope, joy, peace, and love. And when I say that the time Jesus came to the world for the first time, it would change the world forever, I mean this with all sincerity. The birth of Jesus happened over 2,000 years ago, and yet, to this day, over 2,000 years later, the world, not just Christians, the world celebrates Christmas. The power and the beauty of the gifts that Jesus gives us through hope, joy, peace, and love has been year after year, in that each of these gifts unites us all, unites the world year after year after year. That is powerful. That is God. That is Jesus. That is the Holy Spirit. So this Christmas, when you come to church, whether it be for the 6 o'clock Christmas Eve family service, the 11 o'clock Christmas Mass or 9 o'clock Christmas Day service, just saying that again, the 6 o'clock Christmas Eve family service, the 11 o'clock Christmas Mass or 9 o'clock Christmas Day service. Bit of thought, advertising in a sermon. When you come to church during those times, notice how many of people attend that you usually don't see at church. It's because because they still celebrate and respect the Christmas message. When I was in my third year as a student, I was placed at St. John's Cathedral in Brisbane. It was during that time that I was blessed with the experience of Christmas Mass at the cathedral. Why I remember it as such a blessing is not because of where I was, rather it is because of what I saw and experienced. For those that have never been inside St. John's Cathedral, to use a descriptive word, cavernous, to describe the interior of St. John's Cathedral would be a good way to convey the sheer size of St. John's Cathedral. And what I witnessed that evening was wonderful. St. John's Cathedral was standing room only. It was packed, full of people from all walks of life, coming together, giving their respects, singing songs together of praise to Jesus. Unfortunately, however, I have heard people complain about people when they only come to church during Christmas and Easter. Let's address this. Yes, of course, it would be nice if they came to church more often. But we cannot discount the important fact that they are here, that they still come to church to celebrate the Easter and Christmas message. If we as Christians greet them with the underlying negative attitude of, well, you only come to church twice a year, do you think that they would want to come to church any more than twice a year? Genuinely be who we proclaim ourselves to be as Christians, and there is more chance that they will come. People still come 2,000 years later to recognize and celebrate Christmas is incredibly wonderful. But for me, this is only a part of why I truly love Christmas. Overall, the love and joy I have for Christmas comes from trying to fathom and appreciate the magnitude and the glory of Christmas. For example, I submit that the Christmas story begins in the Old Testament. This morning, or just now, I just read from the Old Testament when we heard the words of Isaiah in verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel is something we'll highlight a bit later, but for now, this reading from Isaiah is where we begin to appreciate the magnitude and the glory of Christmas. We can easily relate to Isaiah's prophecy about the birth of Christ. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Consider this. Isaiah lived 740 years before the birth of Christ. But of course, the messianic prophecies of such a monumental event were not just limited to the prophet Isaiah. From the prophet Jeremiah, we not only see the messianic prophecy, we also see how momentous this truly is when we discover how events from the Old Testament are linked and lead up to the birth of Jesus. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 5 to 6, Jeremiah declares the ancestry and link of Jesus to King David, as well as the prophecy of the arrival of Christ the King. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, God Almighty, Savior. Interestingly, this notable link between the Old Testament and the New Testament and the relationship with King David continues when the prophet Samuel actually spoke to King David. For as it is written in 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 13, when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. It is also the prophet Micah that provided something truly amazing and very specific from God, which is found in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. We've got to appreciate that Micah lived 730 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Oh, and as for the prophets Jeremiah and Samuel, Jeremiah lived over 600 years before the birth of Jesus, while it is estimated that Samuel lived 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. Therefore, the Christmas story was foretold and began some 1,000 years before what we have come to know as Christmas Day. Later it would be Jesus' disciple Peter himself, who we know not only testified that Jesus is the Messiah, but he also gave validation to the words of the prophets from the Old Testament. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 to 21, Peter wrote, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father, and his voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, as you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through humans spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." It wasn't just Peter, however, that would bring validation to the words of the prophets. Jesus himself came forward and declared that with his coming, the word of the prophet Isaiah 61 verse 1 was now fulfilled. Gloriously, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, 14 to 21, we read, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" While the recognition of the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy is very significant, there is also something else that needs to be brought to our attention. Remember that I said earlier that I wanted to highlight the name Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel means God with us. And in verse 18 of what we just heard, Jesus said that not only God was with them, but the whole Holy Trinity was present also. Remember, Jesus said, "The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Lord God is on me, Jesus." There you have the Holy Trinity. And that's incredibly wonderful. As glorious as this scripture is, it does not come without disappointment. Sad truth that continues even to this day. Continuing from the same piece of scripture in verses 24 to 27, we read, "Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. to a widow in Sapphira in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Even in this morning's New Testament reading of Paul, the letter to the Romans, Paul reaffirms of all that we have discussed. Paul, the servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and sent apart from the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Sadly, despite the prophetic voices of the Old Testament proclaiming God's word of the coming of Christ, despite all the overwhelming evidence in the New Testament, despite all the examples of hope, joy, peace, and love that Jesus gave, that continues some 2,000 years later, Christ was, and heartbreakingly still is, not recognized as the Messiah by many Jews and Gentiles this day. Thankfully, God, Emmanuel, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is still with us. So this year and all years to come, celebrate the glory of Christmas. Share the gifts that Jesus gives us of hope, joy, peace, and love. Share them with as many people as you can. Be a living example of the living Christ, so that many others will come to realize and experience the glory of Christmas, the glory of Christ. To one and all, a very Merry Christmas.